Well, a blink of the eye and it's over, right? Tennessee's regular season and the inaugural season for Josh Heupel, it is over. A 45-21 win over in-state foe Vanderbilt. And we're going to recap it all here on a Monday Locked On Vols. We will get my thoughts plus the highlights from the Vol Radio Network. We'll give out stats and grades and also the coaching carousel. It is spinning and spinning and spinning. Should Tennessee be worried? All that and more here on a Monday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into a Monday edition of your favorite podcast, and of course it's mine, Locked On Vols, available 5 days a week, completely free on all platforms, YouTube coming soon, and available for your listening pleasure. I'm your host, Eric Kane, and today's episode is brought to you by NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for special end-of-the-year financing on the number of financial systems for growing businesses. Big thanks to NetSuite for sponsoring today's show. So Tennessee, man, like I said in the cold open, blink of the eye, it's over, right? And Tennessee finishes the regular season with a 7-5 record. If we would have gone back to our earlier shows together in February, in March, and said Tennessee would finish with a 7-5 record, a 4-4 record in the Southeastern Conference, I think one of us would have said, hey, you're crazy. I mean, whether it be me saying, hey, you're crazy, I don't believe that, or you guys saying, what are you talking about, new host? You're an idiot. You're crazy. But here we are. And at the end of the day, sure, Tennessee lost to its big three. It lost to Florida, it lost to Georgia, and it lost to Alabama. But considering what this roster turnover was, everything that went against it in terms of recruiting, I know recruiting doesn't really play a factor into this team, but it will maybe for 2022 and 2023 and beyond. The lack of depth at certain positions, some injuries Tennessee had to deal with. Truly incredible, in my opinion, that Tennessee finished with a 7-5 record. Now, let me just say this disclaimer moving forward. Again, 7-5, it should never, ever, ever be the standard of Tennessee. It shouldn't. But for only the third time since the firing of Philip Fulmer, Tennessee has a record in conference at 500 or better. That is hard to believe. I mean, it truly is, right? 7-5, 4-4 in the SEC, and a chance to win 8 games with a bowl win. Excuse me. So that's where we start here on a Monday. Was it pretty? No, it was not. Was it enjoyable football at times on Saturday? No, it was not. Tennessee does pull out the 45-21 win over Vanderbilt, and it was a game to where I would phrase it as Tennessee's C effort. You know, if I'm grading it, we're going to get into grades here. There will be some C's on the report card. I think Tennessee did not have its best effort Saturday, but Vanderbilt, 2-10, 0-8 in conference play finishing the year, is simply just not a good team. There were some things in this game that I didn't like. The Hail Mary to end the first half. Just piss poor play by your defense. Absolutely horrendous play. And we'll get to it more in here in this segment. But you cannot allow, if you're going to play behind, back to the goal line, that's fine. Don't allow the receiver to get in the goal line, though. That way you have nobody playing in front of you, and he just made the catch and no one there to defend in front of him. So just piss poor execution there. Vanderbilt was very good on fourth down conversions. At one drive, Vanderbilt had two drives in the second half to where it went 13 plays for 7 minutes and change off the clock and scored a touchdown, 20 plays for 10 minutes and change off the clock and scored a touchdown. On one of those drives, can't remember which one right now, Vanderbilt converted, probably the 20-play drive, Vanderbilt converted on 3 fourth down conversions. That is just, that's not winning football. But again, you're able to overcompensate because Vanderbilt's just not good. Sure, there was only the announced attendance was like 77,000. There wasn't that many people there on Saturday. It was cold. It was senior day. It was emotional, okay? I get all that. But I do think Tennessee at times, especially defensively, played down to its opponent. But still, offensively, it got to its average. It got over its average. It scored quickly in the second half. I mean, there were 2 scoring drives in the second half where Tennessee, I mean, really just kind of lit up the scoreboard a little bit in terms of quick play drives, right? But overall, I think we can all agree that quarterback play wasn't fantastic. It wasn't horrendous. Hendon Hooker's final stats don't look bad. But defensively, a lot not to like, but it doesn't matter because Tennessee gets the win and finishes 7-5, 4-4. Now, where to go for bowling? We won't know for sure until after Championship Saturday this upcoming weekend with the SEC Championship. We'll have to see how all those dominoes fall, but some interesting finals on Saturday. They're going to make some things even more head-scratching, I guess, for Tennessee. You know, it, in my opinion, it is a Tax Slayer Gator Bowl or Music City Bowl bust, or bust, right? I think it's going to be one of those two bowls. Which one is it right now? I don't know. Maybe we'll get some clarity on that as the week goes on, but that is kind of what we're thinking right now as we move on towards bowl season here in just a couple of weeks. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the scoring plays, and then we'll get into the grades and stats in segment number two. Theo Jackson, right off the top, this is a huge lift for this football team because offensively, for the first time all year, it was held scoreless offensively in the first quarter, first time all year. But Tennessee continues to lead in every single game it played all year long. Theo Jackson, a Nashville native, a 55-yard interception return for a score, a pick six for Tennessee to get the Vols on the scoreboard with less than 3 minutes in the ballgame.
Right, back to throw. No, he's going to gun it to the sideline. Oh, it's intercepted. Theo Jackson in midfield to the 40, cuts it back to the 30, to the 20. He's going all the way for a Tennessee touchdown. 55 yards. Theo Jackson jumped that route and returned it for the touchdown. What a break on the ball by Jackson, the senior out of Nashville.
Again, that was all the scoring for the first quarter. Vols led 7-0 after one. Jabari Small, a couple minutes inside the second quarter, capped a 12-play, 59-yard drive. They took 4 minutes and 10 seconds off the clock. A 6-yard touchdown run put the Volunteers up 14-0.
Hooker hands it off to Small. Small bouncing around and fighting his way into the checkerboards. Touchdown, Tennessee. Touchdown, Jabari Small on a 6-yard run right up the middle. And Tennessee now leads Vanderbilt by a score of 13-0 as Small collects his 7th rushing touchdown of the season.
Well, you knew Cedric Tillman was going to get involved. About 5 minutes later, a 24-yard pass. He was out wide. A slant came in, bent it back out from Hendon Hooker. 24 yards on the touchdown pass. 9 plays, 53 yards, 3 minutes and 6 seconds off the clock. And the Volunteers set at a 21-0 lead.
Bandy, a 4-man front. Hooker Blitz. Drops. Hooker fires, slant, complete. Tillman down to the 10. Tillman to the 5. Tillman to the checkerboards. Touchdown, Cedric Tillman. 24 yards as Hooker hit one of his favorite receivers. Cedric Tillman, the leading receiver on the team. He grabbed that one in and then raced into the end zone for a Tennessee touchdown.
Well, Chase McGrath nailed a 31-yard field goal to cap a 7-play, 45-yard drive to make it 24-0. That was just inside 1 minute to go in the first half. But then Vanderbilt, I mean, you get chunk plays. You go a couple plays, get 10-plus yards, 10-plus yards. And then Mike Wright throws up a Hail Mary to end the first half. Inexcusable 56-yard touchdown reception by Shepard on the Hail Mary. The Commodores are on the board for the first time on the day, 24-7. Here's how the play sounded on the Vol Radio Network.
Right in the shotgun. Back to throw. He takes off running. Now he looks.
Keep backing up. Yep, keep backing up. Keep backing up.
He fires long for the end zone. The pass is going to be sailing down there.
He caught
and
it.
And going to be caught. Did he catch it for a touchdown? They say yes. Right. He bought time. Rolled to the right. Look, and fired it long, and the pass is caught by Will Shepard in the end zone on the Hail Mary.
Well, Tennessee, I'm sure, got a butt-chewing inside the locker room at halftime, but offensively came out. Cedric Tillman found the end zone 46 yards from Hendon Hooker on play number two of the ensuing drive. 33 seconds on that scoring drive, and Tennessee up 31-7.
There's a pass to the sideline that's going to be caught. Dancing around Cedric Tillman.
Good move.
First guy missed, gets to the 20, down the sideline to the 10, cuts back into the 5, and all the way to the checkerboards in the north end zone. Cedric Tillman, he was a Houdini on that play. He made 4 guys miss as he danced along the sideline and took it 46 yards for a Tennessee touchdown, and Tillman in the end zone one more time tonight.
Vanderbilt answered later on in the quarter. He had a Rocco Griffin 13-yard rush to get in the end zone 31-13, but Jabari Small's second touchdown run of the day at the 5-12 marker in the third quarter capped a 5-play, 65-yard drive, only a minute 16 off the clock, and the Volunteers led 38-13.
Hand off Jabari Small to the 5.
He's going in.
He's going to sprint into the checkerboards for a touchdown. Jabari Small with a touchdown run. That's his second of the night.
Vanderbilt's able to get on the board one more time. Mike Wright keeps, goes around the edge, and nice seal block there to get in the end zone. That capped 20 plays, 75-yard drive that took 10 minutes and 56 seconds off the clock, It was 31-21. And then the final score of the day, Jalen Wright, true freshman, his first touchdown of the day, 10-yard rush, capping a two-play 16-yard drive that took just 56 seconds off the clock. And the Volunteers scored for the final time, where the final score would read 45-21.
First and goal now at the 10. Hand off to Wright. Pops it to the 5. To the checkerboards. Touchdown, Tennessee. Jalen Wright having a big second half. Now that time he takes it in for the Tennessee touchdown. And the Vols up the lead to 44-21.
Again, that was the scoring on the day. Big thanks and a hat tip to the Vol Radio Network for that audio. Bob Kessling and Pat Ryan, as well as Brent Hubb. So we will get into the stats and the grades on the other side, but first, it's Prize Picks, daily fantasy that's made easy. Prize Picks is the leader in college sports daily fantasy, offers more college football props than anyone in the world, and also offers the star players from not only the Power 5 landscape, but from the mid-majors as well. Prize Picks offers any prop you can possibly think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All of you guys, on your first deposit, if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, promo code LOCKEDON. You pick the 2 to 5 players, the over and under, and the projections. You can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. And Prize Picks also allows for mixed sports entries as well. Use the award-winning app at both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. And Prize Picks, it's safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out PrizePicks.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDON or go to the App Store and download the app today. It's Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. As we welcome you back into Locked On Vols, again, I'm your host, Eric Kane. Thanks for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Let me remind you guys, Twitter Tuesday is tomorrow. Get me in your questions, your comments, your concerns, @_Kaner, @LockedOnVols. Twitter Tuesday is tomorrow. It's where you take over the show. So let me know anything you guys want to say or have questions about Tennessee football, Tennessee basketball, Tennessee recruiting, heating up. It is heating up, right? So let me know what your questions are at Locked On Vols and @_Kaner. So segment two, let's go ahead and get into the stats and the grades. Again, this was kind of a C effort for Tennessee, but when you look at the final stats, it looks about to where it should be. Tennessee finished with 441 yards of total offense, 60 plays, not many plays in the second half, only 21 offensive plays in the second half, 7.4 yards per play for the Volunteers. Vanderbilt, 321 yards off 75 plays. Vanderbilt threw for 206 yards. Tennessee just .156. Tennessee ran for 285. Vanderbilt ran for 115. Tennessee, 42 rushing attempts, averaging 6.8 yards per carry. So when you have two guys that go over the century mark plus nearly a third, you're going to have some explosive stats, okay? Tennessee possession time, not bad, 21-44. And that's, you know, taken into account, again, you drained the clock a lot in the second half, but you had a couple of really quick scoring drives. Vanderbilt 38-16, Tennessee 21-44. Third down conversions, neither team had very good third down conversion rates. 4-17 for Vanderbilt, 2-8 for Tennessee. But here's the kicker, fourth down conversions. At one point in time, Vanderbilt was 5-5 on fourth downs. They finished 5-7. Tennessee was 2-3. One critical fourth down conversion that Tennessee missed on, the opening possession just outside the 10-yard line, and it negated such a wonderful punt return from Bayless Jones Jr., 50 yards. So that wasn't good there. Both teams had one turnover apiece. Tennessee was able to score 7 points off that turnover. Of course, that was the pick six. Tennessee got 2 sacks for 19 yards. Vanderbilt had no sacks in the football game. Jalen Wright led the team in rushing, 112 yards, a touchdown. Jabari Small, 103 yards, a touchdown. Both those guys, good averages. 7.5 for Jalen Wright, who I thought had his best game ever for Tennessee. Really saw the field well, I thought. Knew when to bounce, knew when to cut it up. He hit the hole really, really hard. I thought that was impressive. Jabari Small, again, 103 yards, 2 touchdowns. I thought he was good. 6.9 yards per carry. Hendon Hooker also on the day, 75 yards on the ground on 11 carries. Hendon Hooker through the air, 10 of 18, .156, 2 touchdowns. Wasn't his best day, but again, the stat line doesn't look horrible. He got going there in the second half, 2 touchdowns. Still really efficient for Hendon Hooker. Cedric Tillman, another day, another 100-yard receiving outing, 2 touchdowns, 106 yards, 6 catches on 11 targets. Bayless Jones Jr., 22 yards on 2 catches, 3 targets. Princeton Fant had a catch for 23 yards on a dump-off. Javonte Payton caught the first pass of the game for 5 yards, and Jacob Warren was targeted once. Paxson Brooks, he punted one time. It was 46 yards, and it was down to the 3-yard line. What a great, great unit and weapon Paxton Brooks was there on that one play. Valus Jones had one punt return for 50 yards. Again, that was negated by a failed fourth down attempt. Chase McGrath, okay, he made one field goal attempt, or he made one field goal on one attempt, 31 yards. That was pretty solid. Toby Wilson's gotten better. 8 kickoffs, 6 of which were touchbacks, so good for him. You look over at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt did have a rusher to go over 100 yards. That was Rocco Griffin. Finished with 104 yards, a touchdown. Mike Wright, 26 yards, a touchdown. You had James Ziegler, who had only 4 yards on one attempt. He was pretty much a non-factor. Mike Wright passing 16 of 31, so completion percentage wasn't fantastic, but he did finish just 2 yards shy of 200 yards and a touchdown. He was sacked twice. Will Shepard, the heavy hitter, 98 yards on 5 receptions. Of course, 55 of that coming off the Hail Mary. He had that touchdown via the Hail Mary. And then you had the leading receiver, Chris Pierce, 4 receptions, 45 yards, and Amir Abdur-Rahman. Say that again. I probably said it wrong there. 3 receptions, 37 yards. Harrison Smith, not a great day punting for Vanderbilt. He shanked one that just went 22 yards. He had 5 punts for an average of 37 yards, 1 inside the 20. And that was kind of the look at Tennessee and Vanderbilt offensively. Defensively, we'll just go with Tennessee. Jeremy Banks led the way with 12 tackles. I thought Jeremy Banks, I mean, was he perfect every play? No. Did he have a penalty? Yes, which I'll say on record right here, you guys know about how I feel about his stupid antics and plays all season long and last year. I thought that was tic-tac at best. I thought that was a weak call. I'll just leave it there. I thought it was a weak call. But I thought Jeremy Banks played well. 12 tackles, he finished leading the team. Aaron Beasley finished with 10 tackles. I thought he played just so bad. Yeah, I just thought he played horrible, to be completely honest with you. Warren Burrell, 8 tackles. Didn't think it was his best day. Trayvon Flowers and Alante Taylor, 8 and 6 tackles, respectively. You had Byron Young, 5 tackles and a sack. You had Jalen McCullough, 3 tackles and a sack. You had Roman Harrison, who had a TFL as well. So Tennessee, 2 sacks and 5 TFLs on the day. I want to go to one of my reports that I did for VolQuest.com. And, well, here it is. Okay, so Tennessee explosive pass plays. Tennessee finished with 3. Tennessee explosive run plays finished with 2. But Tennessee totaled 14 other runs. They gained between 10 and 15 yards. Vanderbilt explosive pass plays, they finished with 2. Vanderbilt explosive run plays, they finished with just 1. Vanderbilt also totaled 2 other runs that gained over 10 yards. The way I view explosive plays, for a pass play, it's got to be 20 yards or greater, or for a run play, it's got to be 15 yards or greater. But again, third down woes, I mentioned it early, Vanderbilt 4 of 16, Tennessee 2 of 8. Fourth down success, Vanderbilt was 5 of 7, Tennessee was 2 of 3. Each team had a turnover apiece. 2 running backs at the century mark for Tennessee and Jalen Wright and Jabari Small. Tennessee ended every drive but 4 with points. Tennessee scored on 6 of the final 8 possessions of the ball game. Vanderbilt had 2 scoring drives in the second half that spanned 7:59 and 10:55 off the clock. Myhus Haught, who played well in this game, Wright, Small, the entire offensive line, Jackson, Taylor, and Banks. And then I want to give a hat tip to the broadcasting team. I went back and watched it with Dave Neal, Deuce McAllister, and LVFL Andrea Carter. On the rewatch, I thought they did a really nice job. I think Andrea Carter has gotten really, really good on the sidelines. So I wanted to give a shout out there. So those were some of my notes. Those are the stats. And let's get to the grades. Again, quarterback, I'll give it B-. I thought Hendon Hooker got off to a slow start, got better as the game went on. By the way, he had stitches in his, I believe, his left hand. Sounds like he's going to be just fine. I'll give Hendon Hooker a B-. Running backs, I'll give an A. You had 2 over the century mark. Easy money there. Tight ends, I will give an A. Only 1 reception between the 2 of them, Princeton Fant and Jacob Warren, but Fant took the dump down for 20-plus yards, but they were huge in the run game. They blocked very, very well, so I'll give the tight ends an A. Wide receivers will get an A, not much there. Offensive line, it was a makeshift. You had Javonte Spraggins, who didn't play because he was out sick, so you had Ollie Lane flip over, play right guard. Of course, Cade Mays was not playing, so you had Dane Davis playing right tackle, and then at times you had Jeremiah Crawford playing right tackle. You had Jackson Lampley playing right guard. Makeshift offensive line gave up no sacks, so offensive line gets an A. And you almost ran for 300 yards, so the offensive line gets an easy A. We flip the defense. Defensive line will get a B. Thought it changed the line of scrimmage pretty much the entire game. I thought it did well, you know, getting back there and helping getting 2 sacks, paving the way for Jalen McCullough at least that one time to get a sack. Had about 5 TFLs. So the defensive line will get a B. Linebackers and defensive backs, you're going to get a C. I thought Jeremy Banks played well. I thought Aaron Beasley played that bad to bring the grade down to a C. I mean, it's a good thing the season's pretty much over, because Aaron Beasley, and you don't have anybody to replace him, and that's what hurts. But boy, Aaron Beasley has ended the season on a rough note. So he played horrible. I thought Jeremy Banks played pretty well. That averages out to a C. Defensive backs, you're going to get a C, right? Mike Wright threw for, you know, I don't know if it was a season high, but he threw for more yards than he typically does. The Hail Mary was inexcusable, and it cancels out what a great play the pick six was from Theo Jackson. Thought Theo Jackson played pretty well, but overall the secondary is going to get a C because of some of the miscues there. Special teams will get an A. Valus Jones had a 50-yard punt return, and Paxton Brooks had a punt down at the 3-yard line, plus Toby Wilson, 6 of his 8 kickoffs were through the end zone, so special teams will get an A. And then coaching will get an A. I thought Hypo had a couple of nice play designs, but overall, maybe that's just an accumulation of really this entire season that I'm giving that. But I thought Josh Hypo did a nice job knowing when to milk the clock at the end of the ball game and knowing kind of what plays to call in certain situations. So coaching staff will get an A. In review, quarterback B, running backs A, tight ends A, wide receivers A, offensive lines A. Defensive line of B, linebacker C, defensive back C, special teams A, and coaching staff will get an A as well. And speaking of coaching staffs, boy, that coaching carousel is spinning and spinning. Could it affect Tennessee? We're going to touch on that to end the show. But final thoughts here. Tennessee finishes the regular season 7-5, 4-4 inside the SEC. What a job by Josh Heupel. They got one more game left, and then we start turning our attention to the 2022 season. Who will come back? Will it be Hendon Hooker? Jerome Carvin is likely to come back on the offensive line. Will we hear from some others? That more to come over the course of the week, probably over the course of the next couple of weeks as they decide to make those decisions. So we will talk coaching carousel on the other side. But first, guys, this is it, all right? It's the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on the backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. Okay, NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while still staying ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite, and right now, through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade. That's at netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. Head over to netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA for a special end-of-the-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. Again, that is netsuite.com/lockedonNCAA. And again, guys, it is Built Bar, all right? It's here, the best Monday of the year. It's Cyber Monday. And at Built Bar, it's the place to aim your mouths. Get at least 20% off everything delicious and healthy. That's 20% off site-wide. And even bigger discounts on Built Boost, Broth, and Built Swag. A brand new Built Bar flavor has landed just in time for Cyber Monday. It's Caramel Almond Delight, and it delivers everything it promises. Caramelized chocolate, check. Almonds, check. Delightful, double check. Be sure to get yours before they're gone. They got 150 calories and 17 grams of protein. And this season, maybe you're craving white chocolate. For a limited time, get a special new Built Bar Puffs flavor. That's new white chocolate cheesecake. It's yummy with protein treat filled with marshmallowy center covered in white chocolate. 140 calories, 17 grams of protein. Tis the season to save and to give your taste buds the gift of Built Bar. Go to Built.com for these incredible tasting new bars and 20% off everything. Head to Built.com, enter LOCK20 before it's too late. We got a final segment left here of a Monday Locked On Vols. Can't thank you guys enough for joining me. It has been a blast this football season. But just because the regular season is over doesn't mean the news stops. Like I said in the last segment, seniors deciding on whether they want to come back or go on to their next phase of life. Tennessee in the bowl game. We'll have that to pay attention to this week. Tennessee hoops. Tons and tons and tons of things to talk about here on Locked On Vols. It's your podcast 5 days a week on every platform. YouTube coming soon, and it is completely free. And you can follow it on Twitter at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. All right, so the coaching carousel, it has started spinning, and I know a lot of you guys are saying, well, what's this mean for Tennessee? What's this mean for Josh Heupel? Let me go ahead and get out in the front here. I don't have any insights right now, but just my personal opinion, I would be surprised if Josh Heupel bolted to go to Norman. Of course, Lincoln Riley, who said, let me stop you right there in the postgame press conference. I am not going to be the next head coach at LSU. Well, on Sunday afternoon, he bolted for Southern Cal. So Oklahoma has an opening. Josh Heupel, a Heisman front runner, a Heisman runner-up at Oklahoma. Josh Heupel graduated from Oklahoma. Josh Heupel coached at Oklahoma. That is his home, right? Well, it ended poorly. And the man that fired him, Bob Stoops, is now the interim head coach. Of course, legendary Bob Stoops, all right? Which, that kind of shocked me. I mean, I knew that he was still around the program. I knew that he still played a role in all that. But, I mean, are we talking, was he sitting in on coaching meetings? Is he at practice every day? When I heard he was going to be the interim coach and coach his team in the bowl game, I was shocked, to be completely honest. But that man fired Josh Heupel, and it did not end greatly. So I don't know how intriguing Oklahoma would be for Josh Heupel right now if given the opportunity. I don't know. I'm going to try to figure that out this week. But, you know, that's an easy .here, .here. Let me connect them. Of course, we've all talked about if the Oklahoma gig ever came open, you know, Josh Heupel would likely be on the shortlist, and he's already on a couple of shortlists that I have seen around, you know, different publications here on a Sunday evening. So, you know, hearing Josh Heupel's names out there, that does not surprise me. It would surprise me if Josh Heupel bolted, though. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen. I'm not going to say that I don't believe that it will happen. It would surprise me if it did. But as we know, you know, coaching search season is crazy. Tennessee fans know that better than anybody. Tennessee fans have seen this before with Lane Kiffin bolting to your dream job. So we'll have to see how it plays out. I would think that Oklahoma would swing big, you know, first and foremost would swing big and make Bob Stoops say, no, I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay here and coach anymore. Make Bob Stoops say, hey, I haven't really enjoyed this past few weeks. I haven't enjoyed being back in meetings and being back at practice and all that. Make Bob Stoops say no. That's where you go first, right? I mean, Bob Stoops is a legend, did a fantastic job at Oklahoma throughout his career, and he's the number one name on everybody's, you know, hot board whenever there's a job opening. It's Bob Stoops, right? So number one, you got to make Bob Stoops say no. Number two, what about his brother Mark Stoops, right? His other brother, who I forgot his name right now, was, you know, coached at Oklahoma with Bob Stoops. What about Mark Stoops? Mark Stoops at Kentucky is a name that continues to emerge and emerge every single time there's a job opening. I think the world of Mark Stoops. I think he's a great coach. I think he's done more with less than anyone, you know, in the country the last, you know, 5 to 6 years at Kentucky. But he has never shown the ability to evolve offensively. That's why I think that he would be a complete bust at Miami. That's why I think he'd be a complete bust at Oklahoma. But Mark Stoops is a name that I think would likely kind of be in that conversation. What about Sony Dykes, who's said to become the next head coach at TCU? Saw one report say, hey, keep an eye on Sony Dykes. You know, I know he accepted this job over here. He's going to be introduced soon. But, you know, that Oklahoma, if he can back out, that might be a spot for him. It is crazy talking season. You're going to hear everything, right? What about Lane Kiffin? Is Lane Kiffin going to stay at Ole Miss? He should. The first 10-win regular season in program history for Ole Miss. He's done a hell of a job at Ole Miss. My guy that thinks this show should be called Locked On Lane Kiffin is probably rejoicing right now or rolling his eyes, one or the other. But you know, I think Lane Kiffin's done a great job. You know, his name has been mentioned all over for LSU in particular. Will he go there? I don't think Lane Kiffin goes anywhere. I think he stands put. So I'm bringing all this up because, again, it all ties into Tennessee and it ties into Southern Cal, for being completely honest. Could this happen again? Here on a Monday, I'm not anticipating that, okay? I think Josh Heupel will get signed to an extension at some point because of what he did this year. I think Josh Heupel will get a raise. Will that put administration, you know, pressure on administration to get it done this week? Maybe. I don't know. So again, I haven't heard anything, but it would not surprise me to see more and more national plaudits discuss this possibility. He's already on a couple of hot boards that I've already seen. It would surprise me if it came to fruition, is all I'm going to say. So Oklahoma's job is open, as Lincoln Riley has darted to Southern California. Well, Florida named its head coach on Sunday, Billy Napier of Louisiana. Billy Napier's going to be at Florida. What's that leave LSU? Okay, I mean, James Franklin, everybody wants to hire James Franklin. I have no clue why, but James Franklin's already locked in at Penn State. He's out of the equation, right? Could it be Jamie Chadwell, Coastal Carolina? Could it be Mark Stoops, who I've already mentioned? Could it be Bill O'Brien, who's got head coaching experience in the college landscape right now? Of course, formerly an NFL coordinator, an NFL head coach, and now the offensive coordinator for Nick Saban at Alabama. Could it be Bill O'Brien? Will it be Dave Aranda, who's been there before, who's having great success at Baylor? I think that makes the most sense for LSU right now. So Billy Napier's at Florida. Lincoln Riley's at USC. Who's going to be the guy at LSU? Who's going to be the guy at Oklahoma? Who's going to be the guy at Duke? David Cutcliffe, you know, longtime Vol assistant, longtime coach at the Power 5 level. Of course, David Cutcliffe, he is out after a decade-long stint at Duke. They've come to a separation agreement. David Cutcliffe might retire, or he might try to coach again, or he might be an analyst. I don't know what his plan is. Steve Spurrier Jr., that would make a whole lot of sense at Duke, potentially, to replace him. And then Miami. Will Miami make a move with no athletic director? What is the status of Manny Diaz? Can you remember just a couple of years ago, Manny Diaz took the head coaching job of, Troy? Was it Boston College? I'm confused. I don't remember. But Manny Diaz accepted a head coaching job and then backed out and came back to Miami, right? Will they make a move? I mean, this coaching carousel, it is starting to spin and spin and spin, and you're going to hear everything. I mean, listen, take Lincoln Riley to the forefront here. After Saturday's loss, he said, let me stop you there, to a reporter. I am not going to be the next head coach at LSU. The very next day, he's not wrong. He didn't lie. He's the head coach of Southern Cal, okay? It's silly talking season. It's crazy season, and it's fun to watch as long as your head coach is not involved. So, do not be shocked. Be warned. You've already probably seen it. Josh Heupel will be a name that's discussed with Oklahoma. I don't believe right now that will come to fruition. But as we know, guys and gals, things change every single day. I think Josh Heupel is happy here. I mean, I just watching him, and I've said this a couple of times, watching him and his family with assistant coaches just hang out at Vol calls and talk to fans and just, you know, feel at home, feel at peace. You know, everything he says behind the microphone, I get all that. That's coach talk, but I don't see it right now. But it is home for him. So let's see. All right. I don't think it's going to happen. We'll have to wait and see. Maybe we'll get more and more layers of this coming in the days that continue. But Florida has their guy. Southern Cal has their guy. What about LSU? What about Oklahoma? What about Miami potentially? What about Duke? I know that there's a lot of other jobs I'm probably figuring out here. It is silly season as the coaching carousel is spinning and spinning and spinning, and everybody's going to want to know Josh Heupel stays at Tennessee. I think that he will. I do. I think that he will. But something to keep tabs on as the week goes on. All right. A fun, full-fledged Monday Locked On Vols. It is now in the rearview mirror. Don't forget about Twitter Tuesday. Give me your comments, your questions, your thoughts at _Caner and at Locked On Vols. Tuesday show. It's Twitter Tuesday, where you let your voice be heard. You take over the show and DM me, tweet me in those questions again at _Caner and at Locked On Vols. And guys, let me remind you about Locked On Bets. Make Locked On Bets your second listen of the day. You've got your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. It is your one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. It's available on all platforms and completely free. Locked On Vols is your first listen. Make Locked On Bets your second listen. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in today. I really, really appreciate you guys. Hope you had a blessed Thanksgiving. Hey, it's a new week. Let's get after it here on Locked On Vols.